Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 1st, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Gamonesis, a.k.a. Janet Garcia.
Yo, what's good?
Janet, how's it going?
It's going. This is our first time doing KFGD together in like a hot second.
In a very long time. Yeah, of course, yeah. Like we're in the studio. I'm not done KFGD with you in the studio. How many KFGDs have you done since we moved into the studio? Like a couple, I assume?
Only like maybe definitely the one in the studio when I like came with Paris. Mm-hmm. One like the other day. And maybe like another one just because like, I don't know, maybe someone's leg fell off at some point and they're like, I can't sit at the desk. Do you want to jump on? And I'm like, sure. Yeah. So not too many.
Wait for you to spoil what happened to Greg Miller. His leg did fall off. He wasn't able to show up this morning.
But yeah, excited to be here. Excited to be here also in the era where, you know, I know you've already gotten some, you know, flowers from Tim and other people on the internet and I hit you up, blah, blah. But none of that matters because what does matter is that you have the number one Blessing show. Greg Miller has been overthrown.
Peace
has finally been achieved. How does it feel?
I mean, it feels great. I almost put out a tweet yesterday that was like, I've killed the Avengers. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to make the episode totally about
Suicide Squad. Kill the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. Like the what are they called in the Marvel? The Marvel movie is about to come out with Florence Pugh in them. It's them kill the Avengers.
The Thunderbolts.
Yeah, Thunderbolts kill the Avengers. But no, yeah, I almost tweeted out, but then I was like, I don't want to make the moment about beating Greg's episode of Avengers. Instead,
don't worry, I got you.
Instead, I want to make it about beating Barrett's Legend of Zelda in review video. What's that at, Barrett?
Oh, that's at like a solid 88K.
Let's get us to 89K. Let's get us to 89K. But no, yeah.
It's one step at a time, you know? Like,
I'm happy that we finally conquered Greg Miller. It feels good. And honestly, like, that's been my goal ever since I joined Kinda Funny. So just conquered Greg Miller in all of his accomplishments. And so it feels great. It feels good, man.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Well, Janet, enough about conquering Greg Miller. Let's talk about today's stories, which include a rumored release window for Armored Core 6, Xbox having more GoldenEye-style releases, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, over on Patreon, we have a brand new heated episode of Kinda Feudy. We have an episode of The Shit List where we reacted to IGN's top 10 fighting games, and we have an upcoming episode of the Kinda Funny Next Gen podcast where me, Barrett, and Roger detail a crazy night out. It was a wild night out. Crazy things happened. It was actually a very normal night out, but we detailed it anyway. You can catch all of those on patreon.com/kindoffunny. And then, of course, there's a new episode of The Blessing Show that you should go check out right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by HelloFresh, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. This is a rumor, and so take this with a grain of salt. Armored Core 6 has a September to October release window. This is Jose Garcia at Dual Shockers. A recent report over on Xputer is claiming that the previously revealed Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, is internally slated for a September to October 2023 release window. So far, all that we've seen regarding this game was its reveal trailer back at the Game Awards 2022, which had the much vaguer 2023 window plastered on the final splash screen. It's a notable piece of info, if true, but take it with a grain of salt, as the Xputer report is unspecified about its sources and no other publication has yet to corroborate the information. One factor that does give the potential leak some credibility is that the author did previously leak the Baten Kaitos remaster, writing a piece about it in January 2023, a month before its official reveal during Nintendo's February Direct. The reason this is particularly relevant is that, like Baten Kaitos, Armored Core 6 is being published by Bandai Namco. Elden Ring is another Bandai Namco title, about which the report also made an interesting claim. It alleges that the recently confirmed DLC, Shadow of the Erdtree, is set to release after Armored Core 6, meaning after September or October of this year. If the report is to be believed, it's undoubtedly disappointing news for Elden Ring fans that have long been waiting for a substantial new chunk of content. Janet, does September to October of this year seem right for you for Armored Core 6?
I think so, because I feel like a lot of the conversation, if we look back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the year for most anticipated games and, you know, what we think has the most potential for critical acclaim, etc., Armored Core is definitely one of the ones that gets brought up. So I think that fall time is that hot time for games. So I think that totally is appropriate for a title like this. I think in relation to the Elden Ring potential like tie-in rumor of that being after that, I mean, I could see that happening. It does seem like there's obviously a lot to get done, and it's impressive that they're even putting out like DLC, let alone DLC that's close to the release, let alone the fact that it's such a substantial game that there's going to be presumably so much more with that. But at the same time, like, what's the rush necessarily? I think there's plenty with DLC, like, since it's so, the audience is so much smaller too than even like the base game. Like, how many people beat the base game of any game, let alone go back and play the DLC? That's always kind of a small number. It's always a hardcore kind of for the culture type situation.
It's not an audience that's fully invested.
Yeah, like, if you're playing like an entire, like, beating a game and then beating the DLC of that game, even though I'm sure, you know, the people watching here are like, what are you talking about? I've done that a bunch. Again, these are like the hardest of the hardcore. Most people don't have that experience. So I think that timeline totally can make sense for this. But what about you? What's your read on Armored Core for the fall? Is fall the season of Armored Core in your mind?
I think so. At least I think that's their plan. I think there's every possibility that it could get delayed. You know, you're talking about a game that Armored Core 6, I think, is going to be a big game. I don't know if it's going to be as big as Elden Ring, but for From Software, for how they approach development now, like, every game from them feels like a, oh damn, y'all put some work into this kind of game. And I expect Armored Core 6 to fall in line with that. And so I think it could slip. When they announced it at the Game Awards for 2023, I always assume late 2023, right? Like, September to October seems right to me. Like, November seems right to me. Like, any portion in that last fourth of the year, honestly, seems, that was already my expectation, and so that part doesn't surprise me. Honestly, I think the more interesting tidbit is the idea that Armored Core 6 is going to come before the Elden Ring DLC. This falls in line with my thought of it yesterday when I was talking to Tim, in terms of, hey, they announced it as officially in development yesterday. For me, that says, oh, this is far away. Like, this isn't coming out this year. They didn't attach a year to it or anything. They said it's now officially in development. No trailer. That tells me that this thing is not around the corner. I think, yeah, you're probably going to wait until 2024 for the Elden Ring DLC. I think we're lucky if it's not a Cuphead DLC situation, where years later we're like, where's the Cuphead DLC? Because when you talk about the DLC being for a portion of the audience, I think that's true for most DLC. And that's going to be true. That's true for every DLC to some extent, right? Like, usually it's the hardest of the hardcore that's showing up to this thing. I think for From Software, a large portion of that audience is going to show up. You know, I think you look at something like Elden Ring DLC, and even them calling it an expansion, and I think that is going to be more akin to a Witcher 3 Blood and Wine situation, where word of mouth is going to get around, and people are going to be like, hey, no, you got to check it out, right? Or even Bloodborne with the Old Hunters DLC. That is one that, again, that's another one that people talked about, and people were like, yo, this is some of the best content in the game, right? Like, I look toward there was like another DLC. There's a class of DLC expansion for story games that is like, oh, this is almost as monumental of a release as the game itself. I think the Elden Ring DLC is going to be along those lines of, no, this is must watch viewing if you are, or must play video game if you are an Elden Ring fan, right? You want to show up to this thing. And I think with that, you want to get it right. You want to pack it with content. Elden Ring, I spent about 100 hours playing, and there's still plenty of content that I'm not gotten to in that game, and that speaks to the breadth of how much stuff is in that game. I think a DLC, you want that to be similar. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe the mainline path for Elden Ring DLC, you're approaching maybe 15 to 20 hours, and then maybe for side stuff as well, maybe you're getting another 30 to 40 hours out of the game. I think that's what you want to target for Elden Ring DLC, but that is also going to take time. And so I think it makes complete sense that comes after Armored Core 6, which they want to get out this year.
I think too, like this would, and again, this is all us just like speculating and dreaming about how these marketing beats might go. But to your point of it potentially being a next release, I think that'd be like a, you know, Game Awards, Elden Ring DLC trailer, like, you know, kind of an easy win for everyone involved there. And I could see them really like setting it up that way. Selfishly, I, of course, don't want the Elden Ring DLC to come out because I don't have it drafted in Fancy Critic. So, and even though Greg is on Team PS, I love you, I am looking to win the whole thing. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, champ. All right, this doesn't come out, like, that's fine by me.
God, how are you looking on that Fantasy Critic, by the way? I haven't opened it in a minute.
I'm looking real wavy. However, I'm a little salty because, you know, I had that, and when we're going to see how the chips fall, but well, I had that debate. Do I, you know, I didn't have a lot of, obviously, we all picked pretty good games. Duh. You know, we know what we're doing mostly. But there wasn't a lot of, like, whack stuff left for me to pick, so I was between Lies of P and Suicide Squad, and I really wanted to pick Suicide Squad, but everyone told me it was a horrible idea, so I didn't, and I regret not picking it.
Not picking Suicide Squad?
Yeah. But we'll see.
Do you think Suicide Squad is going to kill it in the Metacritic? Or in the Open Critic, I guess?
Oh, I meant for the counter pick.
Oh, for the counter pick. Sorry.
Lies of P. And I feel like that was a mistake, but... Other than that, I'm sitting real nice. Mike did screw me over in draft the Mortal Kombat game. He outbid me, so he dropped the big bucks for that Mortal Kombat game.
Oh, that's so smart. I didn't even think to try and draft the Mortal Kombat game. Oh, look at me just fucking slacking on this thing. That's
so
such a good call.
I'm salty about that because I didn't put up crazy numbers for it, but I was like, oh, what are people putting out? I think I put like, I don't know, maybe 10... 12 bucks. I think I put $13 in honor of 12 or something. Like, I don't know. So I don't know if Mike dropped like 50 on that or what he dropped on that, but
it seems
he dropped a lot.
$18 possibly on it because he only has $82 left.
Other than that, I'm destroying it. So that's
the
only thing.
A lot of your games are
counterpick.
Already out too, right? Like, you got Dead Space out, you got Octopath out, and Octopath is killing it. Like a Dragon's
I'm
out.
I'm getting a nice comfy kind of lead.
And
now
these games are in the 80s. Meanwhile, I only have one game that's out, and that's Fire Emblem Engage. And honestly, I think it underperformed a little bit for me. Like, it has an 81 on Open Critic, but I was hoping that would be three houses good, and it seems like it's not going to hit that level.
Yeah, I agree. I was surprised that it wasn't a little bit higher, but I mean, 80s, in my opinion, for Fantasy Critic, if you're hitting in the 80s, like, that's a W. That's the ideal.
For sure.
I think underperforming, you're barely getting points on the board, and obviously everyone dreams of, like, breaking 80s, but that's pretty rare. So... My fantasy for Fantasy Critic is to have a year where I get nothing but in the 80s. That's really hard to do because
I mean, honestly,
towards the end.
If you do that, that's probably automatic victory, right? Because we take risks, and I think that's often the downfall. Is like, oh yeah, this game that you didn't know about looks really cool. It's an indie darling. It's whatever, and you bid on it, and it gets a 70 or it gets a 60.
Like, I have Chia, and I don't know. Like, I like that. I previewed that game, and I like that a lot, but. We're going to see where the chips fall. I don't know what the full release is going to be like, but...
Yeah. Well, how do you think the chips are going to fall on the second half of the year in terms of game releases? Again, we're talking about Armored Core 6, seemingly, rumoredly, which I mean, without this rumor, I would have assumed this anyway. Seemingly coming out, right, in the fall. You also got, presumably, Spider-Man 2 coming out in the fall. We're talking about the first half of the year being... stacked when we're talking about Dead Space, we're talking about Hi-Fi Rush. I'm looking at Blessing Super Fun Game release calendar right now. You're talking about you know, Hogwarts, the new hardware in PSVR 2, Destiny 2 Lightfall, Resident Evil, Star Wars, Horizon DLC, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and then, you know, we cap off the first half of the year in June with Street Fighter 6, Diablo 4, and Final Fantasy 16. That's a fucking banger first half of the year. You don't have to announce any more games for the first half of the year, and we're already like, we got one of the best first halves, I think, in a very long time, if not maybe ever. Do you think second half is going to be lacking for where we're at right now? Or, like, do you think we get Spider-Man and then also Armored Core 6 hit along with other games?
I could definitely see Spider-Man and Armored Core 6 being the kind of, if we're thinking of, which someone should make this. I don't know if anyone listening to this has the skills to do it, nor do I know how hard it is. But you know how you see those, like, widgets or like tools online that's like, oh, we made a concert off your Spotify playlist, stuff like that. Somebody needs to do this, but for like games coming out, like the headliners of the year and stuff, like if it was Coachella or Lala or whatever. I definitely think for the fall we can see like Armored Core, Spider-Man 2 as kind of the headliners or second to top headliners of that. And I'm wondering, for me, the big question mark is during that E3 Key 3, not E3 summer showcase bonanza, like whatever y'all are doing for it, right? Like, what is going to drop? Like, what don't we know about? Because it does feel like we know a lot. So it's like, what's left to know? I do think that we're going to see at least like two extra big hits coming out, but I just don't know exactly what those are yet. I feel like we're going to see that stuff in the summer for like fall, you know, YouTube chat saying factions, question mark. I don't really throw factions or Silk Song or anything like that in there, but we could see those at any point. Like, those are games and titles. Besides the unknown, there are games and titles out there that could drop any second. We just don't really know. They're either going to drop randomly or we'll finally get like a proper date and it'll be like, you know, half a year, a year out or something.
I think the big question mark is Starfield still. You know, is that going to slip into the second half, or is that going to be a first half thing? At this point, I'm totally down for that game to slip into the second half. I will owe Tim a pizza if that happens, but I think it's worth it to have more time to play that game, because I think when you're talking about the headliners of the second half of the year, Spider-Man 2 is going to be a headliner. If Starfield slips into the second half, that's for sure going to be a headliner. And then, yeah, I think you have Armored Core 6 as well, even though that speaks to a nicher audience. But, like, that's a From Software audience, right? I think you're going to have the people that played Bloodborne, played Sekiro, played Elden Ring, and are like, oh, yeah, From Software, like, they're the gods, show up for Armored Core 6, regardless of, like, how nerdy or how different it is for them. I think people are going to try that out and be excited for that. And so, yeah, like, I'm excited for the second half of the year. I'm excited to, like, just see how it pans out, right? See what those games are, and then also see if things like Sea of Stars or there was like another random Stellar Blade, I think, is the action game. Yeah, see if that hits. You know, I think that'll maybe lend to a more rounded out second half, along with like Pikmin 3 as well and whatever else Nintendo's cooking. Yeah, Pokemon DLC, all that stuff. Story number. You know, the Pokemon DLC doesn't do it for you?
I mean, come on now. Like, do we gotta open that wound up again? Like, let's keep it positive.
Fair enough. Story number two. Xbox says it has some GoldenEye-type reveals planned before its summer showcase. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Microsoft's head of gaming has said the company has some, quote, GoldenEye-type reveals planned over the coming months ahead of a major product showcase in June. Last month, the platform holder held the first Xbox and Bethesda Developer Underscore Direct digital event, where it announced Minecraft Legends and Redfall release dates, showed off Forza Motorsport, and surprise announced the release and released Tango Gameworks Hi-Fi Rush. At the end of the event, it also confirmed plans to host a product showcase in Los Angeles in June. During a recent Xbox On interview, Spencer was asked if there are any other big reveals planned before this summer showcase. Quote, "So a lot of our focus right now is on the showcase in June, but there's some news that's coming out," he replied. Quote, "Like, you know, like we did with the GoldenEye announcement, I'm thinking like, you know, GoldenEye-type announcements," end quote. Following months of speculation, Microsoft officially announced a modern port of GoldenEye 007 for Xbox Game Pass in late January. Quote, "So there will be games available in different services," Spencer continued. "Obviously, the Game Pass portfolio continues to grow, but most of our focus as a team is really on getting ready for the showcase," end quote. Jana, do you have any expectations for Xbox before the June showcase? Do you, when he says, you know, like we have some maybe GoldenEye-style releases, does that mean anything big to you?
Not necessarily, because, again, people are going to get mad, but GoldenEye-type announcements, I have two questions about that. I'm curious what your view on this. Do you think by that he means GoldenEye type announcement, like a game akin to GoldenEye, aka an old game people loved, and then they play it now and they realize it's not that good, but then they're really mad about it if you don't like it, and also it doesn't have online functionality for some reason? Or do you think it means GoldenEye type, like the level of excitement or like hyper pop? You know, is it more of like a retro thing, or is it an expectations thing when he makes a statement like that? Like, what's your read on it?
I think it's more of like an expectations, like hype thing, right? I think it could be cool if they dropped, Barrett was showing footage of Banjo-Kazooie, it looked like. It'd be cool if they dropped Banjo for Switch, right? Like, when you look at the GoldenEye announcement, that was a thing that was rumored forever, and it just came out.
But I think Banjo is already on Switch Online or whatever.
Oh, is it already?
Yeah, I put up Banjo footage because I was trying to think of, like, what, like Janet's thinking of, like, what would be that level? What B-roll can I show? And I was like, I'm going to show Banjo, I guess. But, like, I it's not really... So I guess I'll show Conker for Mike, you know?
See, there you go. There you go.
That one, I don't know if it holds up, I'll be honest.
Oh, definitely not.
I could...
Really?
Oh, yeah, Conker?
Yeah,
no. I mean, if you played it back in the day, like, you'll appreciate it for the nostalgia. But, yeah, no, the jokes are definitely, like, the jokes and the gameplay, honestly, are definitely, like, a bit dated for 2023. But, yeah, I know, I could see it being a thing of, hey, we have some, like, pretty basic like remasters that we're putting out to make certain games playable on modern platforms. Like what I saw people in chat listing off different games, like I saw somebody say Crimson Skies, somebody said Perfect Dark, even though Perfect Dark I know is in the Rare Replay, but maybe that's the Switch thing that they could drop. But I think in terms of hype and announcement, yeah, like I think you're talking about those smaller titles that you can say, hey, these are out right now on Game Pass, and this is a game that is either a remaster or a game that you just didn't know was coming to the platform. You know, I think he's talking about that ilk to kind of carry the ship until we get to that June showcase and also the Starfield showcase, right? Like, you have exciting things to talk about. We know those are on the horizon. And in the meanwhile, we know that we're getting Forza Motorsport at some point. You know, we have a date for Redfall. And yeah, like, we have big things to look forward to in the nearish future. So if you have small little announcements they can drop here and there to get us until then, I think you're looking good.
Yeah, I think too, what's so smart and convenient about the general model that Xbox is rocking with right now with Game Pass is it's because the library is already so vast, and I think they've brought out so many quality new games and also done things like, you know, again, the GoldenEye thing, even if you end up not playing it, like, it's exciting to see, right? I don't think you necessarily need to go back, enjoy, love, put in the hours you did before, but it's kind of like, to me, GoldenEye is more of a, hey, you're thinking of different audiences and you're paying attention to, like, what the vibes are, what the community is. It's like, anything on Game Pass is basically a win. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be that game that you're sinking a million hours into or the thing that you specifically want to pop for, but I think at this point it's so established that these smaller type announcements, easy quick wins in the lead up to those bigger moments that you're kind of talking about.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what their future showcases look like. You know, I'm very curious to see like how they sell us on Starfield even more. The latest E3 showing for Starfield, or quote unquote E3, I think it was more Summer Game Fest, the June showcase for Starfield left people, I think, a little bit split just in terms of like, oh yeah, okay, this is a more of a survival type game. Okay, this looks more like just like more Bethesda type stuff. Where's the personality that you get out of a thing like Elder Scrolls or Fallout? You know, I think people would desire a bit more of that. I believe that's in there, but I think they're having a tough time showing it a little bit. So I'd like to see a bit more of what makes Starfield sing. Right, like,
have they talked about if they're doing, you know how they have like developer direct format? Have they mentioned like if they're taking that format for individual games? Like, I don't remember offhand.
No, I don't think they have. And they talked
about, would you want them to?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'd be a really good way to do it, right? I mean, it's in the name already, developer_direct, and in that showcase, they do like, you know, interviews with developers, and it is more of this person-to-person thing of, oh yeah, you're watching the devs actually talk about their game and actually pitch their game and stuff. I think that would work really well for a Starfield.
Was the implication not that that's what Starfield would get, is its own kind of developer_direct when they,
I think
they
so.
Announced?
Did they say developer_direct for it? I know, I love that we keep pronouncing the underscore.
Yeah, you, well, started some this people blessing. Do and then some people don't, and I hate that they have the underscore in there to begin with.
It started off as a joke, and now it's just me. Like, now real. I just say it.
Now it's real.
Well, no, I saw when I like, because I was, I think, in studio that day. Yeah, people say it. People say the underscore.
Well, no, sorry, to bring it back to Starfield, I don't think they said developer direct specifically for Starfield, but because they like announced the developer direct and like Starfield getting its own thing later on, I don't know. I think it'd be weird to like, hey, let's have a developer direct for all of these other games. And then the Starfield thing, completely different type of products that we're going to put out.
Yeah. You know? But I do think it's weird that they just didn't say that it was a developer direct that's happening for Starfield. That's what makes me think that it's not going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two ways they can go about it, right? If they take the direct format and make it for individual games, which we've seen, that's basically like the Nintendo model where they have a Nintendo direct. And sometimes they'll be like, this is our like Mario Direct or whatever, or Mario Movie Direct, which is like, they kind of just put direct on anything and they're like, yeah, this is what it is. And we're like, cool. Okay. We get it. We know what it is. That's probably the simplest and more straightforward thing. The other alternative is to take more of the PlayStation model and to have like different names for these different levels of production. So, you know, State of Play versus PlayStation Showcase. So I think I'm just wondering which one they're going to end up taking, but either way, I do hope that whatever they do with Starfield establishes a kind of format and how they communicate these bigger releases and structure the conversation around these bigger releases to its wider audience, because I think they hit so well with that developer direct that I'd love to either see them amplify that format for mm-hmm. one specific game or roll out a new format. Anything that gets us further away from the original, like very, very, very long showcases that they tended to do, I think is good just for like, yeah. you know, brevity, clarity, snappiness, stuff you can pull out. Like I'm really excited to see, like many people, more about this and get a better sense of what makes this its own unique thing, right? Like you were mentioning with the, you know, other comparisons to other games, something that makes it
what makes it pop.
Like, I don't have to keep saying it's a Bethesda game, you know?
Yeah, where's something the magic more in Starfield? Yes. You know, what's gonna make me go, oh damn, okay, I'm a fan of this thing, the way that people are fans of Skyrim or fans of Fallout, you know? In the conversation about the developer_direct thing, I think also I wonder if I wonder if they don't do it because developer direct isn't a built brand yet. You know, they had that first one. The first one was fun, but it's not a it's not a showcase level thing, right? It is a thing for us to interface with their developers and for them to talk about things. I think the biggest thing we got there was, of course, them shadow dropping Hi-Fi Rush. But I don't. Starfield is such a juggernaut of a game to talk about and to market that I don't know if filing that under a developer direct is going to put as many eyes on it, as much excitement on it as they want to, unless their goal is to make developer direct that, right? Like somebody in chat said Starfield_direct. You would have to call it something like that in order to actually make people show up and make people like be like, oh damn, okay, developer direct is something that I need to get hyped and excited for on the level of a Nintendo direct or on the level of a PlayStation showcase or Xbox June showcase. All right, like you need to build that up. I don't know if the question is, do they want to build that up or not, or keep developer direct as something a bit more intimate? If that's the case, then I do think you do Starfield as its own thing and just say, hey, we have a Starfield showcase coming this Thursday, and it's going to be 30 minutes of Todd Howard talking about all the things that you can do in Starfield and how they just work. You know, like that, I think that might be how you go about it. And I hope that it's right around the corner. There's been rumors. I saw Andy Robinson just last week was tweeting about how the Starfield showcase is imminent and people are hearing those rumblings, and so I'm surprised we haven't gotten the announcement already. I hope that sometime over the rest of the week, maybe we get the Starfield showcase announcement, but we shall see. Janet, you know what you can see? Exclusive content over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go there, you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. Remember those New Year's goals you promised yourself that you'd stick to? Well, HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your door, taking the hassle out of dinner time. Fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions, are ready in less than 15 minutes, so you can enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been using HelloFresh for years. Kevin loves how easy it is to get Paula vegetarian options, while I just love how quick the fast and fresh recipes come together during a hectic day in the studio. Go to HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
The newest episode of my video essay series, The Blessing Show, is out right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and it's all about black hair in video games. Black representation is complex compared to alien frogmen. I'm sure it's way easier to conceptualize this than a fade. Elden Ring is the highest selling new IP in years, and I guarantee you, From Software and Bandai Namco understands that their audience extends internationally. When given the option to create a black character, I would like to create a version of myself that doesn't look like a Lil Nas X thing lead for Fallout Boy. For many, I'm sure this seems like a very minuscule and specific thing to complain about. There's plenty of noteworthy areas of improvement the games industry can still make, even in just the area of representation and inclusion. So why is black hair one to harp on? Well, for folks who just listen to me on podcasts and have never seen a Kinda Funny video before, surprise, I'm black. Check it out over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And we're back. And before we move on to story number three, I do have some breaking news. Hi-Fi Rush tweeted out, "What a crowd. 2 million players have enjoyed hashtag Hi-Fi Rush, and we can't thank you enough." Look at that. 2 million players for Hi-Fi Rush. Janet, I don't think I've talked to you about Hi-Fi Rush. Have you gotten to check it out?
Yeah. I played it like pretty shortly after it came out. really enjoying it so far. I just have to go back and finish it. And it is long enough that I'm like, when exactly do I want to make the time for it? I think I'll try to get to it this month because I'm trying to like really be on it with like my best of like roundups for every 3 months and like really write it up and really have played all the games I want to play. And Hi-Fi Rush is definitely on there, especially because I streamed the beginning of it. And as you know, like it has licensed music and they do have a streamer mode, which is great. And the music in the streaming mode is actually really good. Like it is the same mood and tones and rhythms as like the licensed music. But I'm kind of looking forward to playing it offline so that I can actually hear what the licensed music is, because it's like kind of, you know, music-based game. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be on a lot of lists and a lot of conversations. I am also thinking about one thing I'm trying to work on this year for myself is being more in tune with what stuff do I want to highlight outside of just like, these are my top 10 games of the year, or these are my like, you know, favorite games in whatever genre. So stuff like, I think this is going to be up there for like for Game Awards. What is it called? Like best art direction, like that. This will probably be on that list. Like I have notes on those things. That way I can remember like 5, 6, 7 months from now, what was the best sound design of the year? Cause it's really hard to, I think, look back on that stuff. So yeah, looking forward to finishing it. I've actually been playing a lot of stuff on Game Pass lately too, because I've been playing Potion Craft a bunch too, though I am actually playing that on Steam Deck, not on Game Pass, but it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I mean, Hi-Fi Rush is one I hope gets remembered toward the end of the year, and I think it will.
Oh, I think it's guaranteed.
I think it will by a lot of people, but it's also one of the ones where it's such a competitive year that once we get past Resident Evil and Zelda and all the games I mentioned, Starfield and all the games I mentioned earlier, it's like, oh man, hopefully Hi-Fi Rush gets its flowers. You know, I don't know if we'll see it in Game of the Year at Game Awards. Like, I would love to see it there, but I hope that at least in categories like art direction or soundtrack and like, you know, other things, maybe best family game, whatever that means. Hopefully we see it up.
Classic, just yeah, for no reason.
Exactly. I still don't know what best family game means, but yeah, hopefully we see it.
No,
they don't.
No one knows. And even in the, I got a lot of.
You know it when you see it, Wes. You know.
You know, I feel like Hi-Fi Rush is, it's family appropriate. It's a game that I would show my little nephews and be like, "Yo, play this." That's their family. I don't know. Is it multiplayer? Is it Nintendo?
Who knows? Name it kid appropriate games. You know,
E for everyone.
Best E for everyone. It's
that's
not
different,
though.
So I don't know.
Because you know, like definitely the title of best family game is supposed to mean something different. But the things that are nominated for that category make it seem like more. It's like not things that you're playing together, but just kid friendly games.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat 12, best family game. Like, there is no rules.
Ring Fit Adventure.
It's like how they put Sifu in best fighting game. I'm still salty about that. How dare y'all? Jeff Keighley. Story number 3. PlayStation and LeBron James show off their new PS5 designs. This is from the PlayStation blog. At PlayStation, we always relish the chance to collaborate creatively with cultural leaders who redefine what it means to play and live life without limits. That's why we recently unveiled our new PlayStation Playmakers program. Today, we're humbled to announce a limited edition PS5 console cover and DualSense wireless controller collaboratively designed with PlayStation Playmaker, sports icon, philanthropist, and entrepreneur LeBron James. These specially designed PS5 accessories, which feature elements inspired by LeBron and his love for gaming and community, will be available as a limited release in select countries globally. As a PlayStation Playmaker, LeBron co-designed the PS5 console cover and DualSense wireless controller with personal imagery and adages that have been meaningful throughout his journey. This is just the beginning for PlayStation Playmakers. We look forward to spotlighting more stories from this dynamic and evolving network of talent who are passionate about sharing their love for PlayStation and video games with the world. They represent some of today's most exciting creators, athletes, actors, artists, gamers, and entertainers. PlayStation Playmakers is part of our journey to inspire gaming fans and prove the power of play. Janet, how do we become PlayStation Playmakers, me and you?
Oh, that's a great question. I was not expecting you to ask that.
What does our console and controller look like when they give us a chance to design it? Are we just using PS Love You designs?
I think we gotta branch out. This is our time for some solo dolo branding.
Hell yeah.
You know, you gotta get your reps in. So I think we totally go selfish on this. You know, yours is just like blessing stuff and mine's just game honest stuff.
We can do if we did it this way, right? Like if I got to pick either the console or the controller for Blessing Show branding and you got to pick one for Pentapixels branding, which one are you doing, console or controller, and the other person gets the other one?
That's a good question. I'm doing controller because I think the Pentapixels label stuff and the coloring fits in better. I feel like Blessing Show branding stuff, like the red, the black, like I think it'll it'll like pop the paper more on a crumple console
kind of texture.
Yeah, that would look cool, I think, on the PS5, like side panels.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, deal. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, but how do we become that? Maybe we have to like do more in the community. I feel like we do some stuff, but I don't know, maybe a little bit more, some more charity streams, some shake some hands. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think of the console? Those...
Honestly, it leaves a bit to be desired. And I do get that, like, seeing the art, I do see how, like, that speaks to LeBron and the stuff that he's, like, kind of his aesthetic and, like, the things I've seen posted, like, on social in general. Again, I'm not a big sports person. That's my brother covering the Lakers, and I'm sure he's very in tune with what LeBron's PlayStation could have looked like. But my number one beef with this is lack of commitment. And I have this issue with a lot of PlayStation I don't want to call them spinoffs, but like special, you know, special accessories, like, you know, unique collabs, whatever. The controller, I think, at least commits. Again, we can talk about, does it look nice or whatever? It's fine to me. It's all right. But it's everywhere on the controller. You look at that right away, you know that, oh, this is different. The console's where I really have beef with, and granted, on this photo, you can only see one angle of the console, but it's just like a scribble on the side, something kind of in the middle. I think the fact that it seemingly, again, not 100% sure, uses the same color black as their other black PS5 faceplates takes away from it a bit. Like, this is a chance for this to have really gotten fun graffiti pop to it, to the point where someone even like me, who's not like a LeBron stan or anything, would be interested in this. But it's like, it just feels so like tacked on, almost like you put a temporary tattoo on it. Yeah. It's like, that's my only real beef with it. Cause again, we can debate the aesthetics and whatever. And like, maybe I feel like there's probably more interesting or eye catching LeBron angles for a PS5 cover. But yeah, so, you know, Altered Rain in the Twitch chat, so much negative space. Exactly. Yeah. Fill it out, commit to it. Let, you know, make it pop more. So that's my beef with it. But what about you? How does this land for you?
I think the DualSense is a bit messy. It feels a bit all over the place. And yeah, I agree 100% about the console panels, that there's a lot of negative space. And it's like the parts where you do have the design are like very loud and colorful. And then it just like fades. It doesn't even fade to black. It just cuts to black.
Yes.
And I think you could have gotten a little bit more... You could have gone harder, right? I think aesthetically, this isn't something that I would want in my living room or in my bedroom. If I was a LeBron fan, maybe that changes. I saw as soon as I posted this in our KFG Slack channel, Mike Howard, Snow White Mike, immediately was like, "Oh, this is sick!" And I was like, "All right, well, this is for somebody." Like Snow White Mike, I assume is a LeBron fan, and so
you shine any like bright colors in front of Mike, he's just entertained, you know. Like that's all you need.
Yeah,
him.
I was shocked by the response. I was like, he said that in all caps, also. So I was like, "Oh, damn!" Like just like, speaking
the
of
controller, yeah. Like I agree with Janny here. It's fun. It's cute. I like the little PlayStation symbols being kind of like reutilized for the crown, which is cool. But then, yeah, you look at this fucking faceplate, and it's so small, it doesn't use its space well. It's like, I don't know, I can't get hyped for that.
Yeah.
And, like, I fucking grew up, like, two towns over from the guy, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think the idea of the PlayStation Playmakers thing is interesting. You know, Barrett shared it in the KFG Slack a couple days ago, and I skimmed through it, and I was like, all right, this seems like a marketing kind of thing. We'll see what this pans out to. And then 2 days later, it pans out to a special edition console. But yeah, when you look through the program of them partnering with different celebrities to see like what cool partnerships they can do, like if this was if this is something I cared more about, right? Like shout out to LeBron, of course, one of the GOATs and all that stuff, but I'm not a big basketball person. If this was like Kendrick Lamar console with like King Kunta design or whatever, then I'd be like, oh, let's freaking go. Like I'm all in.
And it's like it's the same crowns but just like a different color. They're like, what? It's different. We need to, you know, and obviously it's funny whenever we end up talking about like really in the weeds marketing stuff. It's like, okay, these are just like commercials or adverts, like whatever, but they are a little bit fun. And I think they do end up speaking to, you know, the wider culture around gaming and try to like to bring more people in and make it more relatable. We need to get back to the era of like, remember when all those celebrities were like carrying around the GameCube? That's like, we need that kind of virality. You know, we don't have that anymore. Like,
I mean,
the
might
Beyonce
get that.
GIF
PlayStation Playmakers might be
the
that.
DS, yeah, that's the thing. That's what how do we achieve that though? Because like there's not an accessorization to the console because it's so chunky. But like that's what I want.
You gotta put a bunch of celebrities in like the same theater and give them all PSVR 2 headsets.
Okay.
And like show them all playing Firewall Ultra together and like playing co-op against each other, and it's LeBron James and Beyonce and Jack Harlow facing off against Drewski and PewDiePie for some reason.
and Seth Rogen.
You gotta speak to the different audiences. You know, you gotta speak to the different audiences. Get Taylor Swift in there. You know, just put them all in PSVR 2 headsets. Have them play a co-op shooter together and see what happens. But yeah, no, when I open up the SIE blog where they talk about PlayStation Playmakers, they do a whole Q&A with, I believe it's Eric Lempel, who's the SVP of global marketing at PlayStation. One of the questions they ask is, who's part of the Playmakers? And he goes on to list a bunch of people. Eric says, we're thrilled to welcome cultural tastemakers from around the globe, like NBA icon LeBron James, country music star Jimmy Allen, actor and comedian King Batch, who, like, for I know King Batch is in a deep cut. I don't know how many people in our audience is going to be familiar with King Batch, but okay, cool. I don't know if King Batch is still as relevant as he was during the Vine days, but I digress. Professional BMX athlete.
That's why he's doing this.
He's doing it for the relevance. Nigel Sylvester, WNBA All-Rookie, Nalisa Smith, NFL stars Jamar Chase and CeCe Lamb, French football freestyler Lisa Zimuch, Belgian football star Romelu Lukaku, and then Brazilian content creator Julio Cecilio, and variety of other stars from the world of gaming, sports, esports, and entertainment. Cool. You can get a vibe of what they're going for here just based off of the names, right? Like they're trying to speak to like broad international audiences, and like they're trying to speak to like a lot of people that are I don't know what bucket you put these people in, right? In terms of like you're speaking to people who speak to the culture of like various sure. interests, right? Sports, extreme sports, that kind of thing. All right, cool. Like I guess my question for you, Janet, is who is one person that you would ask PlayStation to approach for PlayStation Playmakers to really appeal to you, the audience, the Janet audience?
So this is just like off the top of my head. I don't know if it could look good. And I don't necessarily follow their content like as heavily as I once did, but Amanda Rach Lee does planner content. And I feel like that aesthetic, that kind of doodly aesthetic, like maybe they could come up with something that would look cute. Because also I'm looking, one thing I'd like, and I don't mind like having like badass stuff, because like there's appeal points there too with like how you can structure things around different IP, but I wouldn't mind some more cute. There's not really like a lot of cute with PlayStation right now, and I think that's something that's really lacking. I mean, we do have the Nova Pink, but frankly it looks like really close to the red in pictures, and it's really dark. Like I picked it because I'm like, well, it's pink, so you know, sure, close enough, but it's not really my ideal coloring. So yeah, I want something like, give us something for the cozy gamer, you know? And I know like PlayStation, again, if you think of what they're known for platform-wise, not a lot of titles come to mind for that. So I get that. But again, we're trying to expand, mix it up. Like, I feel like there's so many ways to have, you know, a cute Switch. And granted, the Switch is so customizable with the dock and the Joy-Con and all that. But like looking at the PlayStation, like it's not really carrying its weight, like sitting on my desk here in my setup. So that's what I would want. But what about you? Who's your tastemaker of choice?
Here's what I'll say. This isn't even for me, but Barrett will understand exactly where I'm going with this. You want to get like a Blackpink, or like you gotta dip into the K-pop realm.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you did, honestly, you'd sell so much.
Yeah. Like, I think that's the direction you go. Console.
Yeah. If there was like a BTS PS5 or some shit, Alyssa would be like, yo, I know we already own a PS5. But what if we owned another PS5?
And yeah,
like that's a lot of PS5s to have in one house.
Yeah, 100%. I think you would get a lot of people hyped about that.
And I think, frankly, I think you could make that look really cool, because I think they have like really nice like aesthetic design stuff, and like the K-pop community in general, or the K-pop business rather, is so in tuned with special edition stuff that I feel like if anyone's gonna knock this out, it's gonna be someone from those kinds of spaces. But yeah, the BTS faceplates would do like stupid numbers
for sure. Story number four: EA lays off 200 Apex Legends QA testers. This is Jeffrey Russo at gamesindustry.biz. More than 200 QA staffers who mostly worked on Apex Legends were laid off. As reported by Kotaku, EA's Baton Rouge, Louisiana office has made its quality assurance team redundant. Sources said the employment notice came from an unscheduled and mandatory meeting with their contract firm, Magnet Global. Additionally, full-time supervisors affected by the shuttering of the testing team will be provided a severance of 60 days. The move is also said to have not changed the status of the EA's Baton Rouge studio. It remains open and operational. The redundancy news comes a month after the game firm announced that Apex Legends Mobile would be shut down on May 1st. This is another unfortunate one in a list of unfortunate news stories that we read lately about layoffs in the games industry, but then also in the tech industry as a whole. But 200 Apex Legends QA testers is a ridiculous number. I didn't know you had that many people QA testing the game. I didn't know that was even like the number.
I think too, like what's concern. I mean, a lot of things are concerning about this, but one thing is, okay, well, I mean, that QA still needs to be done. So I wonder, is it just like laying off staff and now you're just going to freelance that out for cheaper? Like, that's the other aspect of it, because that work still needs to happen.
I have a bit of an update on that one, right? This comes from Twitter, where somebody who apparently worked for EA Baton Rouge tweeted this out yesterday, like after being laid off. They tweeted out, and this is, if Bear, if you want to pull it up, this is almighty. I'll just drop it, actually. I'll send it to you. I'll drop it in assets. But they tweeted out, EA just fired all the people in the office I used to work at before they fired us at 8 this morning in Baton Rouge. Just realized an hour later, they used us to train a UK team and European team and replace us with them. At EA, feel like explaining, right? Like, that seems, it seems like they're just, yeah, shifting that work to another part of EA, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, and I'm digging through my own Twitter to try to find, like, there was really, unfortunately, this is not new, right? Like, we've seen things like this a lot. And there was, what I'm trying to dig for, and I probably won't find it, unfortunately, is a recent conversation about QA and like the work of QA and all of that. Yeah, there's a tweet for people watching the video version talking about what Blessing just read. But the issue of QA not being respected or held onto or maintained is also, I mean, you see it's in a lot of fields that are like underappreciated and have high turnover. You lose like all the knowledge that you lose of how things are done. And obviously they did the kind of shiesty thing of, oh, it's fine, because we had you pass on the knowledge to like the new people that are taking the job. But that happens over and over again, and things could be so much better for just everybody involved. Like, I think the conversation was really around like the pay for QA and the fact that it is a shame that people can have passion and expertise for something like QA and still feel the need to leave, whether it's being forced out through layoffs or firings or what have you, or just needing like more money. And like, just in general, you know, I don't want to spend too much time like harping on like the larger picture, but really to scale up, there's so many jobs in this industry, in other industries, where it's a shame that people can't make a living off of doing like a full-time job. Like, that's ridiculous. And especially too, like, not even just a living, but like a living of some aspect of comfort, because I think there's so many scales to like, you know, people's livelihoods and things. And the idea that something that's allegedly, we always talk about the white collar, the technical jobs, oh, that's where you can, you know, enjoy. And again, we can talk about how that's kind of a bullshit split, the fact that we even have that as a split in our society. Mm-hmm. But the fact that even those jobs end up not having that, you know, talking to people who work at some of the most like prestigious, you know, outlets or studios, being like, I have to shop and double check that stuff's on sale before I buy it at the grocery store because I can't afford it otherwise, while working in like a highly technical, highly important space. Like, it's such bullshit. And it just hurts everyone involved. And it's just so frustrating to see this happen time and time again, when things could be done so much better for everyone and they're just not, because of money.
1,000%, especially for a role that is very crucial and important to the game development process, right? Without QA, all the shit literally falls apart, right? Like, games aren't able to be put together without that, right? Without getting that feedback, and also without, like, you know, being able to iron out those bugs and identify the bugs and be in like testing and all that stuff. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate to like see QA treated like almost like you're disposable, you know, I'll lay them off, right? They knew what they were getting into. It's like, no, it should not be like that. And so, you know, I'm sending love to the people that were laid off. And yeah, it's fucked up that's how that shit happens. Story number 5, our final news, or second to final news story for the day. Sifu Arena's expansion has been dated for March. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Sifu will be released for Xbox consoles and made available on Steam on March 28th. Developer and publisher SlowClap has confirmed. The latest game from the French indie studio behind Absolver, Sifu, was originally released for PS4, PS5, and PC via Epic Game Store last February before coming to Switch in November. The game's Xbox and Steam release will coincide with the launch of a new Arenas expansion, which will be available as a free update for all platforms. Quote, with 9 new locations and 45 merciless challenges spread over 5 game modes, the Arena's expansion is packing up to 10 extra hours of gameplay into the already demanding title, according to Slow Clap. Quote, Masters of Kung Fu will be pushed to the limits as waves of enemies crash upon them in survival mode, or pushed to perfection in the performance mode. With time attack, players can also battle against the clock on a path filled with enemies. Sifu's looking for a twist on the game's impactful combat. You can try the new capture mode, where players must take and hold a marked area, or manhunt mode, where a specific target surrounded by protectors must be taken down. End quote. I absolutely love this. Of course, Sifu was one of Kinda Funny's top 10 games of the year last year. It's a game that I absolutely loved. And it's a game that I want to say I beat in around 7 to 8 hours. And so the idea that we're getting at least 10 extra hours of content packed into the Arena's update, I think is awesome. The fact that they're doing all these different modes, like I think I was just asking for like one mode that was like an arcade or score attack style mode or like a boss rush type thing. The fact that they're adding in 5 game modes with more locations, I think that's awesome. Yeah, all these challenges, shout out to them. I absolutely love it, and it's going to add even more replayability to Sifu, a game that I'd say already had quite a bit of good replayability. But yeah, adding in more modes where you can kind of do this endless stuff, oh yeah, that's going to skyrocket gameplay time by a lot. Like, I'm going to return to this, and so good on them. Barrett, is this one you're going to check out? I know you're also super big into Sifu.
No, probably not. It's harder to find time for everything that you want to play, and I'm already struggling with that, so probably not. Mm-hmm. Also, it seems that I forget if you said this is launching on other platforms as well.
Yes. Yeah,
because that's cool. It's cool to have like a new audiences come and play that game, because yeah, it is so special. I think the more people play it, the more they'll understand of why we love it so much. And I hope that they fall in love with it as well.
100%.
I still have it installed, I think, because part of me believes that I will go back to finish
it. You're never going to go back to it.
I did go back to it for a little bit for Game of the Year, like when we're over the break and I was kind of like deciding my final list to vote for Game of the Year and stuff like that. I did go back to it. I was like, God damn, what a great game. Weird to like do a full restart and play through that, because then you don't have all of the like unlocked abilities and stuff. I'm like, oh God. I need all those abilities.
Speaking of going back to a game, though, so I've been playing more Escape Academy. They dropped the DLC a while ago, and it's taken me and Yami like too long to beat this DLC that's only 5 levels. But went back to it. I'm not going to talk about the Escape Academy DLC. I don't know if I'll ever get to on like PS Love You or something. And so I'll talk about it here. Goddamn, Escape Academy, very fun game. And I love the fact that they can just bust out more escape rooms for that game. And I had such a fun time doing the DLC with Yami that we're like, all right, what more can we play? And I hit you up because on PS Love You a few weeks ago, you recommended We Were Here. I've not booted it up yet, but I have it. We bought it and I have it installed. And at some point, we're booting it up and we're playing We Were Here.
Remember to We Were Also Here? What's
of course.
The sequel called?
Oh, We Were Here Too.
We Were Here Too. And then there's We Were Here Together, which also, like, again, another, not sure when I'll get around to talking about it. And I haven't finished it yet. We Were Here Together.
Not it?
I don't know. Okay, so my beef with that game, and like for those who don't know, like Escape Academy, you know, Operation Tango, like We Were Here, like these are all games that you play, you know, co-op mandatory games, and you're so working towards like a shared goal of some form. So like, you know, in Operation Tango, like you're relaying information to your partner to work on a shared goal. I will say Escape Academy, you're not always necessarily relaying information, but you're working together on like getting out of the shared room, and maybe it's like, oh, I figured this out over here, and then you figured this out over here, and that's kind of how the structure is. So We Were Here, that series runs similarly, but I'm on the third game. We Were Here Together, I think is the name of the third game. I'm not 100% sure. They have some, at least the early puzzle, like the first puzzle stuff was fine, but then after that, it was very much like, I didn't feel like I could split off very much. It wasn't like, I'm giving you info, and we both need each other. It was kind of like, one of us sort of needs to solve this and maybe just tell the other person what to do. It's not as like involved. Like, I don't feel like it's even. And that's the part that I haven't been enjoying about it. Mm. But that's just like the second puzzle area. Maybe they'll like open it up more. But I'm like, I think y'all like zagged a little bit too much. But again, I still have 2 games after that. And I already have like the last game owned. So I'm probably going to ride it out regardless. But we'll see how the series goes.
I have a little bit of similar feelings about the Escape Academy DLC, where there are some puzzles toward the end that involve just straight up math, like math problems that me and like me and Yami aren't like. I'm decent as like at very basic math. And Yami's like, yeah, count me out for math shit. And so I'm like, I'm sitting there and legitimately just doing equations in my head of like, no, this isn't it. And like for 10 to 15 minutes doing like equations in my head for one aspect of a puzzle. I think they were going a bit more, they were going a bit harder and a bit more technical in some of those Escape Academy DLC puzzles. And I think some of them were hit, like I would say, yeah, for sure. Some of them were misses. But I just like the fact of, you know, they're adding in more content. They have a roadmap, so I think we're going to get a bit more content. I think this season, if
yeah,
I remember
I have,
that roadmap correctly.
I have that DLC as well. I just haven't gone back to it yet. I'm kind of saving it for maybe when, you know, me and Isaiah get our next place and we have like more space to make content and it's not just us in the corner of like the room. I think that's what I'm saving it for. But I even have like, I have a whole like plan thing. I even have like extra codes to give away and stuff. Like I just haven't. I want to like do it up because I really love that game as well, and like I'm always looking for co-op games like that. So like if you follow me on Twitter or you have Twitter or whatever, like at me with co-op games that have that aspect. Like literally
also
always
same.
Looking for them. Oh yeah, like basically this
at
is like our thing. Yeah, we like which again, and I know you play with Yami and I play with Isaiah, so like we have to do one of these together.
We gotta do it on stream. Like we gotta find we gotta like put Operation Tango did do the update where they added like a challenge mode that has all these puzzles to them, and I haven't done those. I don't know if you've done those, but maybe that's a stream right there.
Yeah, we gotta do something because it's been like we both are like experts in this genre. I don't know if you call it a genre, whatever,
co-op
the style.
Puzzle, yeah,
yes,
escape room type game. We should just go to a real escape room. Why don't we just go to a real escape room and have like Mike
I've
and the team
I've never been
because
you gotta get up, you know. I don't know, we'll do a lot of stuff. We got a lot of content in the works, so stay tuned.
But yeah, I to cap off that story, right, like the Escape Academy DLC was like it was very difficult, and by the end of it me and Yami were like, we got more time to hang out, but like we're both tired, and so we're just like, yo, what if we just played an FMV game and we played five dates. That game, I heard like Greg talk about it years ago on PSLW, but he seemed a bit more middling on it, like middling to good. I played it with Yami, and like that game was really fun. And I actually can't wait now to play 10 Dates. 10 Dates just came out on Valentine's Day, and these are FMV games that are almost like dating simulators where you're playing as a character who's going on a bunch of online dates. But yeah, no, them Wales Interactive FMV games, they're hit or miss, but when they hit, they can hit pretty hard.
I've put on your recommendation, I put like a request in somewhere to try to like play those because I also really like those FMV games. And also, you still need to play Late Shift because you've never played it.
I do need to play Late Shift. One
Trust
day.
Me, that thing, I'm a little scared that maybe you're going to be like this bitch I was just talking about, but it hits hard as fuck. It is so good.
I also
you
need
to play it.
There's a game that's called Who Killed Uncle Something from...
No, who put Uncle Jeff on mute or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's
it?
Some shit like
it
that
like
from
a
Wales
Zoom
Interactive.
Fucking interactive game or something like that.
Yeah.
Also, you gotta play... what's that old-ass one that had all the drama around it on the Nintendo? Night Trap?
Oh, yeah, Night Trap.
You gotta play Night Trap for the culture, the history blessing.
I don't know if I gotta play Night Trap. I feel like that's one I can probably skip.
You should... Why not? What's... What's stopping you?
Was,
you know,
wasn't that, like,
why
wasn't
are you
that game
way?
Controversial because it was like perverted or something? Like, wasn't there some shady
no,
shit
it's
going
just that,
on?
Like, I played it. It's not like it's like pervy or anything. It's just it was controversial a lot of the violence and then the fact that like, oh, the girls have like nightgowns on, but they're not like made to be, in my opinion, like they're not made to be like sexy or anything. It's just the fact that, and they had to change a lot of the aspect of the game as they were making it because they were like, okay, well, this looks too violent, so we're gonna make them have like this weapon so it's less violent. Okay. It definitely is hard as fuck. You will need a guide at a certain point, but it's intriguing to like check it out. I don't necessarily think it's like, oh, this is still a great game, but like I think as a hardcore FMV person, you will get a kick out of this game. It's worth like that. You gotta dabble a little, you know.
Also, the game I was talking about earlier is Who Pressed Mute on Uncle Marcus? Someone has attempted to murder Uncle Marcus at the family meeting. Uncover the truth in the yearly family quiz before it's too late. That sounds like my shit. And so I want to play that, but I also want to play it with like friends so we can experience
also,
that shit together.
The last thing I'll say on this topic, because this is basically, also we need like just to be able to do this regularly because I feel like there's so much ground to cover. Mm-hmm. So I played this one game, and I'm not gonna like name either of these games because one, I forgot kind of the name of one of them, and the other one I haven't played yet, so I don't want to talk about it yet. But I played this one game, FMV game, and it was god awful. It was like one of the worst games I've played in my entire life. I hated it. I hated this game. I was like, this game's so bad, y'all. Like, I cannot even.
Was it
anyway,
Erica?
So I played that. No, it was She Sees Black Clouds or
Dark
Clouds.
Oh yeah,
or
that's
something.
Another Wales Interactive one.
It was that one's really bad. Don't play it. It's bad. It's also like it gets kind of like super jank towards the end, kind of victim blaming at some parts. I didn't like it. I didn't like anything about it.
Listen,
it was not good.
For audience that are watching, if you not watched or if you missed our stream where me, Nick, and Mike, I think, played Blood Island. It was like a battle royale blood game. Oh, I forget what it was called, but like we did a stream. And if you can find this by Will's Interactive, if you can find the name of that game, I think it's called Blood Hunt. Yeah, I'm like 90% sure it's called Blood Hunt. Blood Hunt. If you can find. No, Blood Hunt is the fucking Vampire Masquerade thing.
Bloodshore,
that's what it is. Bloodshore.
Thank you, AJ, in the chat for shouting that up.
Type in Bloodshore Kind of Funny into YouTube and watch that stream if you want to get a taste of the games that me and Janet are talking about. Because that's another one where you play as like YouTubers and shit that go on an island to kill each other. And it's a fucking blast. It's a great time.
So, right, I play that game. I'm like, this game sucks. And it sucks so bad that I'm like, I'm going to tweet that, like, y'all, this game's not good. Like, it's not it. Like, it's just not it. So I tweeted about like hating the game, and a developer or maybe a publisher, someone who makes games, who works in games, DM'd me and was like, hey, I saw you hated that game. I think you're going to fuck with our FMV game, though. So play it. And I'm like, this is a bold DM because you must have a lot of faith. And they sent me a code. This was literally like 2 years ago, and I still haven't played it because I just have not gotten around to it. And I want to play with my family and stuff. And
Getting around to it. At that point, you just don't want to play it.
No, because it's installed. Don't at me about this, okay?
It's been installed for 2 years. Delete that game, Janet.
I play the long game. You know, everyone's trying to like. And again, everyone's always meant, Jay, you played the game too fast. Jay, you're still not done with it? I'm not going to win. Let me live. You know, let me be me.
Fair enough.
I can't believe bullied me into getting like extra storage for my PS5. Where I feel like you're just the problem. You just keep games on your PS5 for way too long.
But it's like, what's like 2-3 gigabytes? What am I saving it for?
Remember when it took you two decades to beat Uncharted 4? Remember that?
Exactly. And guess what? And what did I do?
You beat Uncharted 4.
That's what I fucking thought. That's what I'm fucking talking about. Deliver, bitch. So boom. Days Gone is still actually Days Gone's not installed. I'm not gonna play that, but I want Isaiah to play it so I can watch him play it. I know I can look it up on YouTube, but it's not the same. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand me. But yeah, I'm really excited to play that because I'm like to see me hate this game and be like, no, but our game, like I gotta play it. So I'll keep you posted.
Please
I'll hit you up in 3 years. I'll play it and I'll let you know if it's good.
Final news story. This is story number 6. Telltale delays Wolf Among Us 2. This comes directly from an image that they tweeted out on Twitter. An important update for the Wolf Among Us 2. We've made the difficult decision to delay the Wolf Among Us 2 out of 2023. We know it's frustrating to hear. We started work on this in 2020, and we're still determined to tell the ongoing story of Big B and the rest of the Fable Town gang. However, it is going to require more time. As disappointed as you are hearing this, we feel worse having to say it. But the work continues. We're committed to delivering the sequel fans deserve and doing what's right for the game while protecting the health of our team. We appreciate your patience and understanding, the Telltale team. And it's like the famous LeBron quote, you put out a bad game in 2022 and it's bad forever, but you put out a good game in 2023 and you break the NBA record.
Exactly. Fooled me, you can't get fooled again. So, exactly. You know, take your time. But yeah, you know, obviously delays are always disappointing in the sense that, oh, we got Fantasy. Did someone have this in Fantasy?
Oh, yeah. Look at Paris. See, this is why you don't fill up your fantasy team on week one. Okay. He fucked
up. I'm saving like my
look at that Atomic Heart score.
like any coward, I'm saving my big thoughts for when, you know, the stuff's already done. So it's like I don't really have any, you know, call outs ahead of time. But one, Paris filling it up. That's an L. I don't know why he filled it up immediately. Two, I saw some of the stuff Paris drafted and I don't know, dog. Like, the numbers won't speak for themselves.
He's got Suicide
Squad, I mean?
Squad up in there. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure NBA 2K is going to save you, Paris, on that one.
Yeah. So, you know, shout out. But PS I Love You Victory is def secured. That's all we got.
Janet, I can't wait for Wolf Among Us fans to finally get Wolf Among Us 2 in 2024, maybe. Or maybe later. Who knows? But the release of Wolf Among Us 2 is just so far away. If I wanted it was coming out to Mom Grop Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Leap for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, PC. A Fox and His Robot for PC and Switch.
Classic.
Do you know about A Fox and His Robot?
No. It just sounds like a charming tale. Yeah. About a Fox and His Robot.
A tale as old as time. Brock the Investigator. You see what they did there? Investigate, because he's an alligator for PS. I assume he's an alligator. Maybe he's a crocodile.
<What if he's not?
laughs> They're for PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Bendy and the Dark Revival for PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Remember when it was just the Ink Machine? And now it's the Dark Revival. Now, is this... Oh, this is a Fox and his robot.
This is the Fox and his robot? He's
that looked like Super Meat Boy for a second. That looks
he's
like Tails.
Real quick.
Is that not just Tails?
This reminds me of Red Game without a great name, which was not a good game, but I did beat it.
So the art style looks like it wants to be Ori a little bit. I mean, not as detailed as Ori, but like it wants to be Ori. But then like the platforming looks a bit faster paced. And then the main character kind of looks like Tails.
But it's the weirdest sequel to the Fox
and it says Joshua Jank presents. And they're living up to the last name there because this looks a little Jank.
They're playing fast and loose with the art direction.
Janik. My apologies, but, Joshua.
You know, I don't know. Maybe
now this looks like Limbo.
Maybe it's on purpose. Maybe they are like going through different aesthetics in like iconic games or something. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. He's moving though. He's moving and grooving. I see the fox. I don't see the robot, but
on some parts that actually did look a little bit neat. Like when he was going fast back and forth between the different orbs. I'm like, okay, that looks like it could be fun. But then also. It reminds me a little bit of like the Flash animation style that we like make fun of a little bit, but interesting. Yeah, that's Fox and his robot. Card Crawl Adventure is out today for PC and mobile. Delicious Dungeon for PC. Fight and Rage for PS5, Xbox Series X, and then Pillars of the Earth is out today for Switch. New dates for you. Gripper is launching on Switch and PC on March 29th. The Game Devs of Color Expo returns online on September 27th through the 30th. Mini Motorways cruises to the seaside in a Bridge to Busan update on March 8th. And then Atlas Fallen releases May 16th on PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC.
You thinking about Busan Coffee, Bliss?
I was thinking of Train to Busan, the movie.
Because I was just thinking about the Busan Coffee that Greg would fucking drink all the time.
Oh, yeah, that would give him superpowers?
Yeah.
God. Never forget. And then deal of the day for you, Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden Bundle is $29.61 on the US PSN store. It's also free on Game Pass, but if you're on a PlayStation, then yeah, you can get it on sale right there. Now it's time for kindafunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Delaney Twining says, Bless said CC Lamb when mentioning the athletes for the PS5 in content. His name is CD Lamb. CD Lamb.
Nothing else is real.
Diddley says, Xbox is releasing a Mandalorian Xbox Series X. It's like a missed new date, I guess. Let's see. People are writing in about escape rooms. And then somebody said I should play Late Shift. These are not your wrongs. You just tweet me about those things, you know?
See me on Twitter. Of these are just like, the no editorialization on the you're wrongs. It has to be something we said that was incorrect.
Wait, I actually love this. Look at
it
this.
It looks really good. I've actually been looking into like, do I want to do anything to my Xbox Series X? Because ever since I put it next to my record player speaker and it looks the same as the speaker, like it's not been sitting with me well. And I've thought about doing like a cover or something for it, like was it D brand or whatever, but like none of those pop for me. But this looks dope.
This is a sweepstakes thing, not a purchasable thing, so you have to go in.
This one
I love how they put the cloth over the controller. That's adorable.
Oh, that's really cute. Yeah, to make it look like
so
Baby Yoda.
What a smart idea.
No,
I actually love that.
We gotta stop. Xbox gotta stop making little codes for controllers. It's so dumb.
But it's like a little
this
Baby Yoda.
This is the first time.
Here's the thing. That's the kind of stupid shit. They're playing to the stupid bitch market, and that's the market that I'm in.
No,
so like, this is the shit that I pop for,
because the last time they sold it and Stoic Mike almost bought it or probably did buy it. I'm not sure which. This is just if I win that, yeah, let me put my little green Xbox controller.
Yeah,
if you win
like,
it, that's a fair thing. That's a fair thing. But to like,
let's
there are like retail little hoodies that you can buy for your fucking Xbox controller.
This is what I need.
I don't know, man. I saw someone on TikTok have a backpack for their Stanley Cup, and I'm like, honestly, it looks really cute.
I need
I wish I had that.
PlayStation Playmakers to poach Baby Yoda. And like do their own Baby Yoda like design, because I was digging that Xbox One.
His name is
or Xbox
Grogu.
Series X. Sorry, Grogu. I'm sorry for
no one knows who that is.
People
Barry.
Being offended by me saying Baby Yoda. All right, I'm not watching season 3. I'm done with the Mandalorian. That's a lie. I'll probably watch it if it's good. Tomorrow's hosts for KFGD are question marks. I think you'll see Tim, but aside from Tim, I don't know who's gonna host with him.
And quick thing, speaking of the Mandalorian, in around a half hour over on youtube.com/kindoffunny, Tim, myself, and Anthony Carboni will be reviewing and breaking down the first episode of the Mandalorian season 3, if you want to check that out.
Of course. Oh, after this, actually, I should say, is Warzone with Mike and Nick, if you're watching this live. If you want to catch that later, of course, that'll be up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Janet, thank you so much for joining me on Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Super fun.
Yeah, of course. This has been KFGD, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.